Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yeah! Hello and welcome, everyone. It's the world famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade, Jonathan Shippey Shipman, Kevin KT Turner, the pride and joy of only Texas. And hello, Metroplex. Welcome to the show.
That never ends.
That never ends. That Kawhi Leonard was incredible.
You want to hear it?
Welcome to the game. Is that what he said?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey. Welcome, Clipper fans, to the game tonight.
Okay, hold on a second.
Welcome, radio listeners, to the show today.
Go back to the beginning because I think that is the Kawhi Leonard version of Pedro going, hello? You know, from Napoleon Dynamite, when he just gets out there in front of the crowd and he's got the mic and he goes, hello? I think that's Kawhi Leonard's version of that. And did you actually see the video of this, Ben, or did you just hear it?
I watched it.
So you saw him cup the mic like he was an early 90s rapper. Yep. What was he doing? So I think he was having a hard time hearing, and he thought if he cupped the mic, he'd be able to hear better. It was the most awkward-looking thing I've ever seen. Like, why was he doing that? He was holding his giant claw mitt over the other side of the mic like it was somehow going to impact how this thing sounded.
Hey. Welcome, Clipper fans, to the game tonight.
Dope.
It's going to be a great season. We're going to work hard every night.
Oh, okay.
And let's get it going.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Oh, you're a genius, Shippy. You are a genius. Well, that's what happened last night. Kawhi Leonard did that. And then Kawhi Leonard had some sheer moments of brilliance as the Clippers, without their second best player, an borderline elite player, looked really incredible last night.
Yeah, dude. How about that? No Paul George and still rolled?
They got a good team, dude. I take that back. They got a great team. I don't know that I think they're going to lead the Western Conference in wins because I do think there's going to be a lot of nights where... And I'm not talking about the start of the year where Paul George and Kawhi Leonard aren't playing together. They're going to conserve those guys. But once they get to the postseason, if that team is fully healthy, they're far and away the toughest out. And I think the most lethal combo is LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But I just, the quality of that Clipper team. And man, someone tweeted this to me and I hadn't really considered it. But so let's say Kawhi, which isn't outrageous, leads the Clippers to an NBA championship. He will have led two different teams and two different conferences to NBA championships in back-to-back years, and he will then, before the age of 30, have as many rings as LeBron has because he won two with the Spurs. He'll have two NBA Finals MVPs and maybe likely another one. And then we're sitting there talking about if we got to consider Kawhi the greatest player of his generation. Because his resume will be off the frickin' charts.
All right, so I heard you on Sean and RJ because I was stuck in the worst traffic that's ever happened to a human.
What happened, dude? What were you doing?
Well, I mentioned this in the mix. My wife is she's in charge of the ordering the printer ink.
She's the office manager.
Yeah, she does everything. I'm not being critical of her because without her, we're all homeless. My whole family's living under a bridge.
Okay.
Now, we'd be making a lot of money on radio, but we'd still be living under a bridge just because we wouldn't be organized.
But you would have so many incredible flashlights.
Oh, my God.
And the best printers money can buy.
Yeah.
You would have the normal Xerox office printer that's a big, giant tank. You would have three or four of those underneath that bridge.
Yes. So she just, you know, she just forgot to order ink for it. So I could have printed this document I needed last night. Instead, I had to get up and print it today, and she didn't. Have ink, so we couldn't print. Mm-hmm. So then I started calling everyone I know in my neighborhood to, because now I have to have them print this highly confidential document, and I can't get a hold of anybody. And then finally I got a hold of my brother, and now it's my brother
in so Arkansas.
I have to tell him why. My brother lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, yep.
So I had to tell him why I need this, and
you
that
live in Arkansas?
Takes a while. I feel like you guys are stupid. But I don't mean anything bad by that. I just mean you should seek help immediately or have somebody watching over you.
I'm kind of dumb.
And so it ended up delaying my departure from Light Farms. Now, if I can beat traffic, no problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you move out there, you get a lot more house, yada, yada, yada. It takes me about 42 and a half minutes usually.
Okay.
42 and a half minutes.
That's pretty good, dude.
If there's no traffic.
Oh, yeah.
If there's traffic, it takes me 3 days.
An hour.
You're counting on a lot of people to throw a perfect game.
So we walk out there and Ben's packing camping supplies to go to work.
Meanwhile, Broadus is like the traffic expert here. So this is like the game of telephone. So Skin goes, hey, you should call Broadus and get a traffic update. I'm like, okay. I go, did you talk to Broadus? He goes, no, I heard him. He texted Sean and Sean said it on the show. So then I start hollering at Broadus. I'm texting Broadus. Sure enough, he's giving me all these he's like, yeah, you're going to want to go a different route. There's a tremendous back up southbound around the gallery. I'm like, okay.
You've been watching tollway film.
So I cut over on the George Bush, and then Waze, the app, is like, oh my God, dude, you're screwed. Don't try to go to 75. You need to cut down Preston. So there I am at the George Bush and Preston
stoplights,
trying to get to basically fits you in 75. And it was hell. And then I got into the area of town that was impacted by the tornado.
Oh.
So there's still police cars blocking off streets and trees down, and good God, man, that thing was just terrible. And anyways, it took me, I think, 25 to 30 minutes to go the last 7 miles. So I got here. I apologize for being late, but it's my wife's fault. By the way, did you guys see on the tornado stuff at night when you see a picture of the city of Dallas?
Uh-huh.
And you can see the area where the tornado went because there's no lights.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm not.
It's just wiped out. And again, it's like I said, when I saw the tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, I flew over it in a plane many years ago, and it did look like a path of destruction. It looked like a giant finger just went through the earth, just through like you're drawing up a play in the sandlot on a football field and some dirt. And there's no rhyme or reason to the way it goes. But if you want to find a little bit of humor in this world, if you're just looking for a silver lining in this, you can look at several of the weathermen were showing the path that the tornado went. Did you guys see that?
Is it a dong path?
It's a dong path. And so I don't know why they have to do it like this.
They have to.
They set up to where it emanates from their waist region. And then it just goes upward, and it's clearly...
And then when they draw on at the end of that where the rain is happening...
It's like, man, I don't understand why you guys aren't aware of this.
Rain is splashing down like, right here in this far east region.
They're very aware of it.
But last night was incredible. Awesome to have the NBA back, and it was fantastic that it was L.A. versus L.A. It's the Western Conference Finals, and you know everybody's buzzing. Everybody's talking about it. But I'm sorry, man. I don't... Tonight, are you kidding me? Mavericks basketball with Luka and Porzingis finally regular season. Going against the World Series. The Astros, who cares? I hate the Astros. I want nothing good to happen to the Astros. I don't even want to tune in to watch them burn down. I don't want to see the Nationals beat them. I'm so all in on Dallas Mavericks basketball this year, I can't even begin to tell you.
No, I hear you, man. I am really excited by the prospect of the Nationals beating the Astros, but... I'm not going to be focused on that when there's NBA basketball on. That's my favorite sport. I'm going to be super dialed in on it. And my favorite team is playing tonight as the Mavericks play the Wizards. And the Wizards are going to be a bad team. And I think they are dealing with a lot of injuries. I haven't seen the injury report today, but like a lot of their important players, and they don't have that many of them.
They're just Bradley Beal, right?
They're just Bradley Beal. But even like... You know, hey, John Wall's hurt all year. Let's bring Isaiah Thomas in and resurrect him. He had a thumb thing. They got a lot of injury problems. And so this could be one of those nights where if the Mavericks are as dialed in as they're supposed to be, you might be able to just flip it over and watch the final three innings of the World Series, because this may be Rowdy McRout route. Now, they have to go out there and do it, but I just am so excited to see this thing that we've talked about conceptually for the last couple months, and that is the offensive machine and all the ramifications of putting Luka and Porzingis on the floor together. By the way, no Dwight Powell. I've talked a lot about what he means as a role guy, so Maxey will very likely start for the first two games. I think Dwight Powell's also been ruled out for the New Orleans game Friday, but it's just we've been waiting for so long. It truly is Christmas morning, and we got the best gift ever to unwrap. If you're a Maverick fan, this is going to be a blast to watch this team play. It's going to be really incredible.
Very quick.
So I think also if you go to 1053thefan.com, there's a little Mavs predictions article that our web guy Josh Clark put up.
Yep.
And I think it's very interesting if you take a look. So Skin, you and Bassick both have them at 45 wins.
Okay. Two noted homers.
Jeff and Corey both have them at 44. Hagee, Jared, and Choppy.
Well, hold on. Kavanaugh has him at 44.
Yeah.
I like that.
And he's got him sneaking in as the 8 seed.
Attaboy, Kavanaugh.
Hagee,
I love the optimism.
Jared and Choppy, both at all three at 42 wins.
Okay.
Missing the playoffs.
Yep.
I have him at 43 and missing the playoffs as the 9 seed.
All that's fair, I think.
And but I think Josh has him at 44 wins. But I think I've brought this stat up a couple of times.
Wait. Am I the highest at 46? Or is anybody as high as me?
No one's
is Donnie. Did Donnie say 55?
Donnie had 55.
55. Ben, I don't see yours on here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was it. Did you have to somebody? Did you have to send it in from your printer?
Yeah, I tried to print that out. God, let me call my wife.
You need to get under that bridge and get your Maverick predictions.
My sweet wife. By the way, go ahead, KT. Before I tell you about my sweet wife.
Well, I'm more interested in the foreplay leading up to your sweet life is that the Mavericks have the easiest schedule for the remainder of October and the month of November,
Based on last year's record.
Based on last year's record, easiest schedule, and just looking at it, you know.
But
the point is, it gets way harder.
Yeah.
The more you go in, and this team always seems to start slow.
In this modern era.
They have to start fast, and it's good that they're playing a crappy team tonight.
No, you're right, KT. In the modern, the Luka era, and even the Dennis Smith Jr. era, and going back, they had favorable schedules early, and they didn't take advantage of it. And then you get behind the eight ball, and it's the Western Conference. You're like, oh, crap, we got no chance. They have to. I think I was looking at their first nine games, and I'm going, man, if as a Maverick fan, if you think you want them in the playoff picture, don't be hesitant to go, hey, we need to go 6-3 here. That's the way you need to look at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The only team that's going to be way better than they were last year on that easy part of the schedule is the Lakers. But that's the way you need to feel about this team. You need to feel about them as, hey, this is a team that could make the playoffs. And if this team could make the playoffs, then I think it's not outrageous to go 6-3 in the first nine. But I guess we'll see how it all shakes out. And we'll talk about it with Mark Cuban coming up here in 45 minutes, Ben. All right, coming up next on the Ben and Skin Show, KT will take us inside the Cowboys' numbers. Yes, we got some good stats for you. Next, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You can always text in on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. Boy, Ben! The radio.com app just had a Staples ad for a new printer. That's too effing hilarious. Tolo Todd in Irving. No doubt, Tolo Todd in Irving will be at Fanniversary this Saturday. It is the 10-year anniversary of the station. Huge party out at Texas. I can't either, Bart. Huge party out at Texas Live. It is weird just calling someone Bart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just Bart. 12-4. Please join us Saturday afternoon out there at Texas Live. It is going to be stellar. This Brett Favre audio is really good to get into. We'll do that coming up in 20 minutes and do all the stories in the NFL as we go around the NFL.
The poise.
I know, but we're going to really dial in here and be poised and get into some Cowboys numbers, KT.
Inside the Cowboy numbers, always a fun segment in a sense. Here are their takeaways by week two.
By the counting numbers, maybe.
0-1-1-0-1-4. So after a four takeaway week, where does that put them in terms of league lead in takeaways? Because they were hovering around that 25-26 area. Where are they at now after a big four takeaway week?
And now the Patriots going into this week, I think, had 14 interceptions, and I think they had 9 interceptions of Darnold. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're still going to be a million miles ahead of the Cowboys. But and the Cowboys could add 5. Sean Lee dropped that one. That's why he's a linebacker, not a tight end.
Almost cut him.
I would say that that improves the Cowboys' fate. I think they probably moved up to 21st.
I was going to say 17 or 16.
They're now, middle of the pack at 9 with Baltimore. With the Saints.
Ninth in the league? Or nine turnovers?
No, right in the middle of the pack. The 9 turnovers. So right around 16th or 17th. Maybe some ties make it a little different. The teams they had the same takeaways as the Saints is one of them that stands out. So,
and they gave the Saints a bunch of takeaways. So aren't they flat?
They're middle of the league there.
But aren't they flat? Don't they have like 9 takeaways and 9 giveaways or something like that?
The Cowboys are flat.
Yeah.
Yes, they're flat. 3 interceptions, 6 fumbles. And they have given the ball away with Dak thrown 7 interceptions, and then they fumbled twice, Zeke and Witten
in the same game. Yeah,
in one game. So I thought that was interesting. They got a little bump there.
Don't you think, though? Like, okay, we're dealing with a 7-game sample size. I do think that if you pulled it out at the end of the year and you looked at all these teams, and the teams that were within +1 or -1 or flat with their turnovers would probably be 8-8 teams. It is far and away the most telling stat in football.
Third down percentage, all right? So this is where this is not dominant defense. It's still probably not what we thought they would be, maybe.
They're not anywhere close.
But, again, as I mentioned before last week's game, they came into the game as a top 10 team in points per game and yardage per game defensively. Mm-hmm. Here is how they stack up on third down percentage over the last 3 years. In 2017, they were 29th. In 2018, they were 27th, hovering around 42-43%, which is not good on third down.
Right.
This year, they are second in the league on defensive third down at 26%.
Is that right?
Yes.
Really impressive.
They're getting off the field more than we think they are. Game flow and turnovers are the only reason this team is not 6-1 or 5-2.
No, I agree. And by game
flow. The only reason.
As part of your quote-unquote game flow, wouldn't you throw
turnovers into that?
Yeah. Well, also, but penalties?
Penalties, sure.
I mean, that'll ruin your game flow. Guys, it's second or first and 20.
But you're telling me that's the the second best team in the NFL this year getting off the field on third downs?
It's good.
I just think it's interesting. Now, maybe, I guess one way to skew those stats, if the Saints in that game, we talked about the Cowboys didn't get that many possessions because the Saints kept the ball and they couldn't get off the field. Mm-hmm. Well, were the Saints converting on second downs, first downs, third downs?
Right.
So it's still a small sample size at 80 third down opportunities.
It's a great trend to have, though.
But, man, you start to stack it up. They're right on pace for the same amount of attempts on third down as the last couple years.
And aren't they really good with scoring defense?
Oh, top 10.
Yeah.
Top 10 in the league.
Which you care more about that stat than anything else.
And for instance, in last week's game against the Eagles were 3-for-9 on third down. So,
yep.
You know, not very good.
Nope.
Another thing I thought I wanted to throw out you guys, Jerry had that clip where Jerry was talking about, he was talking about basically 22 million eyes on that game the other night. And we were going, is he talking about 22 million eyes on the game? What was he talking about? I'm still not sure. Like, I'm still not convinced that he was saying 22 million eyes on the game. Came out that it was 21.5.
We got a lot of text messages.
I mean, from tons of different people. And I hadn't seen the stat, KT. So you're saying that it did come out 21.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, he rounded up. He's Jerry.
So far, okay. Season to date, week 7, NFL programs are all of the top 30 broadcast on TV, and they are 34 of the top 35 telecast through the year. 34 of the top 35, all football games, all right?
Oh, God.
Now, 35th on that list, do you guys want to guess what program that is?
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Little Sheldon.
It's not that. It's more newsworthy.
Stars Live.
Oh, Stars Live.
Not Stars Live.
Mavs pregame.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite.
By the way, 1 hour from the Plaza tonight.
Stars Afterlife.
Could crack that top 30.
Yep.
It is.
Wait. Oh, it's newsworthy?
Yeah.
The Voice.
Not newsworthy.
Nightline.
Oh, no. the wedding between Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani on The Voice.
60 minutes.
That's happening?
Oh, 60 minutes.
60 minutes.
It's not 60 minutes.
Dang
it, Shippy.
60 seconds.
That's news.
Now, this game we're playing right now is called 60 Guesses.
Okay, we get 60 guesses
each.
We're
7 in, right?
Yeah. I think 6.
It's not a rerun of King of the Hill.
That's not news related.
What was that show with all those people in white smoking cigarettes and acting weird, and it had Jennifer Aniston
on HBO?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston wasn't even
her husband was.
The Leftovers?
Yeah, The Leftovers.
Yeah, they got a divorce.
Leftovers.
Wait, hold on. Was it broadcast or was it?
It was broadcast live on ABC with 13 million. Hmm. It was the Democratic candidate debate.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have more
please,
of those coming
don't
out.
Mention that, please.
Top three, Packers, Cowboys, 25 million.
God, KT's
number
talking
two,
politics.
Giants, Cowboys, 24.3 million.
You just
number
lost
the
listener.
Number three, Cowboys, Saints, 24.2 million. That's just, it's unstoppable.
Jerry's talking about The Leftovers for everyone else. Hey, sorry, we just took all the ratings. Y'all can have The Leftovers.
That's good.
I love you, Jerry.
You guys want some of this?
Jerry and Steven and Jerry Jr. all in white, smoking cigarettes, looking at the rest of the television programming.
I'm going to take some of the pie right here.
Do we ever figure out the news?
It was the Democratic debate 25th.
Oh, I know
all right,
you're on.
So now we have... We've talked about Cowboys, both Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence, how much they've been getting double-teamed. There's a new little stat graph thing that came out, and it's basically combining how much they've been double-teamed, Quinn and Tank, against how well they've been winning those battles.
Oh.
And, guys, I have something to tell you.
Robert Quinn wins battles?
Two of these guys are in the top five.
Oh!
Ooh, Tristan Hill.
Clowney's getting double-teamed more than anyone at 31%.
What a badass.
J.J. Watt. At 30%.
I saw his phone getting double teamed.
Oh my God.
Hey, JJ.
It was. Wow. That was a good sport.
Holy trust
by
issues.
Her eyes, too. Yeah. Both of her eyes were locked in on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting that Watt and Clowney lead in Houston just couldn't make it work with Clowney.
Well, wasn't that kind of the same thing? I mean, the Cowboys have their ends both getting doubled a lot. They're not really getting a lot of pressure.
That's a good point.
Or are they getting a lot of pressure?
Oh!
Actually, I don't know. I don't know.
He flipped it on its script.
Yeah, well done.
But then Tank and Quinn right there. Quinn winning more than any other edge rusher.
Okay.
When double teamed.
That's great.
Gotta get him locked up, dude. Like, when we talked to Stephen Jones the other day, we were like, hey, is the bye week an opportunity to sign some guys? And he mentioned Dak and Amari. And I was wanting him to mention Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it up to him before. I don't know if he's going to break the bank. If he, I mean, he obviously missed a few games, but if you take away the games he missed and you extrapolate his numbers, mm-hmm. he's on like an 18 or 19 sack pace.
Which, by the way, he did have that 1 year for the Rams. Now, he was a much younger man, but that happened.
Well, at 12 o'clock today on the Ben and Skin Show, you will have a very good heated discussion. Who should the Cowboys franchise tag?
I want to go back
Quinn
to
Quinn or Byron.
I want to go back to the initial premise where you said there's a new stat graph thing that just came out.
Yeah.
And that was the only context.
No
for
one
it.
Really has a. Well, there was context came after that.
But you didn't say where it was from or what we were looking at, really.
I didn't figure it was a good idea to attribute this to anyone.
So it could be Choppy just wandered in and said, bro.
Well,
these
one
guys
of those
are...
football nerd guys put
okay.
it up.
Got it.
All right. Snap count from last week. Cheeto continues to dominate all cornerbacks in snap counts. 61.
Either never taking him off the field.
This is
all right, guys. What snap count do you want to go on?
Wait, what was that from?
Byron had 58. Jordan Lewis played 42 snaps, which is more than his entire Cowboy career, I would imagine.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I think we just found what Garrett is in charge of. He's not in charge of the offense, the defense, or the special teams on game day. This is all he contributes.
All right, guys, what snap count do you want to go on?
He's in a giant auditorium.
He's on seven.
He's
that's
clapping.
Him. That's it. It was a quiet moment at AT&T. It's like, guys, what snap count? They're like, shut up. Let us run the offense.
All right, guys, what snap count do you want to go on?
And, guys, I also have some splash plays for you. Ooh. You guys a big fan of splash plays?
Sure. I think they're good.
Yep.
Who's your leader in splash plays with the update here?
D-Law.
It is still DeMarcus Lawrence at 14.5. He's running away from the pack. Vander Esch and Quinn in second place at 11. They're trying to chase him down,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if they're going to be able to make it. Did you guys see the story of the MU that got loose in Minnesota?
MU?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what that's called.
That's not what that's called.
That's how I
read this book because I wanted to read it.
What a weird brag.
I never like. I was comfortable calling an emu.
I mean, that's very much. I drew the duck blue because I wanted to see a blue duck.
I read this book because I wanted to read it.
And then he just walked out of the room holding a book.
Thank you, Miss Lippy. Yeah,
he's finding all these old Garrett drops. Pretty good.
Where are you finding these?
Man, I have so many drops that I don't use that are just sitting here.
You need to get organized over there, Shippy.
Before I sneak off to the emu story, from the 615 Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053, who would you guys rather franchise between Amari Cooper or Robert Quinn?
I would rather franchise Quinn because the Cooper franchise is more.
And because Cooper's 24 or 25 or however old he is.
But if it comes down to you lose one, like if you can't get deals done with either and you franchise one to keep one, then you keep Amari.
Oh, yeah.
Because Amari's way more important.
Agreed.
I think so.
Who's more replaceable?
Tease to noon. Come on, Kevin.
Kevin?
You want to do this emu story?
Kevin. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. You're going to say
I went through an emu phase.
Is it an emu?
Emo.
Emu.
Oh.
Emu.
Shippy was emoting everywhere, looking like an ostrich.
Okay, time out. Emu pronunciation.
It's emu.
You think it's emu?
I think so.
Or is it emu?
I think it's emu.
Mew? Shippy, can you find a pronunciation for emu and play it over the air?
Yeah, see if Siri will tell us.
Emu.
Milk.
Deputies in Minnesota say they're searching for a habitual runaway emu.
Emu.
It's not an emu.
Milk. It's a cereal runaway bird?
He runs away a lot.
Can you drink emu milk?
Yeah.
Emu.
Yeah! Emu.
Good job, Shippy.
Thanks.
Who was emu. That guy?
That was a Hal 9000.
Hang out with him.
Now, emu. They said that the emu disappeared with another emu and a dog for a weird threesome.
What a ragtag gang that is.
It says, emu number one and his dog accomplice turned themselves in without incident. Emu two had other plans and is now running at large in Minnesota.
What are you supposed to do if you're just walking down a side street and a bird just walks by in a different direction, kind of skittishly looking over its bird shoulders?
He's got tiny legs and a big old beer belly like an emu does.
It's wearing a wig to disguise itself.
Sir, they don't drink beer.
I think they do. They're mean, man. Growing up in the country, there was a neighbor on one of the side roads there. You know, not really neighbor, but, you know.
Oh, just, no.
And there's kind of all neighbors, and they had an ostrich farm. And you'd go up to the fence and those things and stare you right in the eye and they'd start.
I feel like you're
like a hummingbird.
If we were to comment on that neighbor, you'd tell us they're dead now.
Because
most of your stories end in death.
Yes, time has passed since then.
You are a big proponent of the death story.
What is time?
Do not approach the subject as he may be violent.
Armed and dangerous? This emu has a gun? Oh, my God.
Dude, they'll straight peck your eyeballs out, dude.
Dang,
I've seen it happen.
Wow. How much do you pay for that website?
It's I've got unlimited access because of some other websites I have access to.
Now, here's where
I bought a bundle package.
Here's where the bad journalism comes into play, guys.
Oh, no.
I'm going to read the last paragraph for you.
Shots fired.
A woman wrote back to say she had seen the emu on Benton County Road 66 Sunday morning.
He's a respected journalist.
Quote, scared the crap out of me. Kylie Pozorski said. Another person wrote that he hoped deputies find the emu and the owner gets her back. Quote, sounds like a foul situation, the person said.
Okay, all right.
Didn't need it. The person didn't come up with a pun when interviewed by the news.
They did.
No, they didn't.
They said, hey, look, if you get up and get a bird's eye view of this situation, you'll see that it's very tricky.
She was bird dogging that story, just waiting to find it.
Now they need to hatch a plan. You know,
yeah.
To get the emu, because they have huge eggs.
Or they can't expect it to work out the way they want it to.
That was excellent.
Exactly.
Crack open the case, you know, and then.
I don't get that.
Like
one.
An emu,
what's
like a bird
one?
Pops no. up out of the egg, that cracks open.
Exactly.
Wasn't very good.
And those are inside the cowboy numbers.
All yeah. Right.
Thank you, Kevin. And now it's time for a tease. Coming up next, we will go around the NFL as Brett Favre weighs in on this ghost situation with Sam Darnold. That's next. Why, thank you, Shippy. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for rolling with us today. God, what an action-packed day. So much excitement.
And you don't even know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I can make your butt clap.
Is that what the lyrics are?
I think so.
All right, let's fire up some NFL music there, Shippy, as we ponder those lyrics. Man. And let's get into some of the best NFL stories of the day, including seeing ghosts.
Senior Darnold having a hard time, expected to miss a little practice today or this week because he needed to have his toenail removed after the game.
Oh, no.
What?
He had to get his toenail ripped off.
As a punishment for playing so bad?
Removed. Now, the audio that went viral, Shippy, if you could fire that off, here's Sam Darnold mic'd up on Monday Night Football.
Seen ghosts.
Where was he when he said that?
Just kind of on the bench.
Just by himself?
I think he was. Yeah. Busy. I think he was talking to a therapist.
Wait.
Ghosts.
Is this the clip I saw of him on the sideline doing some pottery?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
All right, I did see this.
Exactly.
Swayze showed up. It was real weird.
Oh, dude. And the weird twist was at the end, Darnold was dead. That's why he was seeing the ghost. Sorry to ruin it if you haven't seen the game.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
The lead was buried that everyone was like, whoa, Whoopi Goldberg's back. Haven't seen her in years. Look it up, kids. It's the movie Ghost.
Who's Whoopi Goldberg?
It'd be a great idea for a burger named Whoopi Goldberger.
Did she invent the Whoopi cushion?
The Jets are mad that the seeing ghost comment got on the air. Now, he agreed to wear the microphone, and then Monday Night Football crew, it's really the NFL Films crew, there's a certain agreement where if it's something hurtful to that person's reputation, then you don't air it.
Right.
And NFL Films went with it when it put on the air. So they're mad. My understanding is it was not ESPN's choice. This was an NFL Films type thing.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
No one from the Jets was there?
What do you mean?
I just know every time with the Mavericks, when Coach is mic'd up or J.J. Barea is mic'd up, Sarah Melton would spend that game in the truck with a person from the NBA. So there was a representative from the team and a representative from the league so that TV producers weren't just doing whatever they wanted. Well, there was two filters for the NBA. Now, the NFL is an even more massive operation. If you're telling me that someone, that the Jets organization knew their quarterback was mic'd up and they didn't have anybody in there to oversee that, that's a pilot error, because I just know from my own experience, teams that have their stuff together send a representative to triple make sure. This isn't let's look in live on an open mic. This is looked over before it makes the air.
And the article I read about this, the NFL Films representative, it's just probably an understanding. And I get what you're saying. The NBA's double foolproof on this. But it sounds like it's just kind of protocol. There's always an NFL Films representative on hand.
Okay.
Now, here is Adam Gase, the head coach. Here's his comments and sharing his frustration about that comment getting out there.
That was one of those things that was really disappointing to hear about after the game. I don't know if I've ever seen that, where somebody that was mic'd up was basically, you know, a comment like that was allowed to be aired. It bothers me. It bothers the organization. I mean, obviously, we're going to be looking hard into you know, our cooperation going forward.
I'm sorry, but they're making it worse.
Yeah.
Like, they're...
You need to let it go away.
They're reacting to the reaction, but they're making it worse by saying, oh my God, this is so damaging. We should have never let it hit the air. No, it's not damaging. A young quarterback's going up against the best defense. Move on. But to act like this is damaging to the organization, they're making it worse, I think.
He also said you heard the clip, gives us pause to really cooperate anymore with the league. And he said, I don't know how we would allow our franchise quarterback to be put out there like that.
I agree with you, Skin. The best thing they could do is shut up. Because for them to come out and go, oh, why did you share with the world that our quarterback's soft and he's seeing ghosts? Now everybody knows he's a pee.
Right.
What the God, guys? Why'd you do that? Hey, sorry, Sam. They let everyone know you're a pee. We'll handle this.
We have been hiding his delicate psyche for a year now, and you guys just exposed what a fraud he is. I don't know how we recover from this. Right. You jerks.
I saw the DBs, though, after the game for the Patriots. They're going, what? He said what? He really said that? He said that on the record? Wow.
They are reacting. Here's what I think, and I could be way wrong. I think someone from the Jets was there, and they didn't think it was that big of a deal, and now there's all this reaction, and they are freaking out. Oh, they're freaking out to the reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. This is a tweet from Le'Veon Bell after the game. The NFL screwed Sammy over. There's not one player in the NFL who's cool with having every sideline convo broadcasted to millions of people. There's a reason we've never heard of other quarterbacks frustrated on the sideline like that before. That's crazy.
Yeah, because the team representative is in there shutting it down, you morons.
At NFL did Sam dirty as hell. Well, I think also there's not that many quarterbacks who are going to say that.
Young quarterbacks.
They really call him Sammy?
Sammy.
Do you guys realize this guy looked like Joe Montana against the Cowboys?
So this is what, do you know what's happening here?
I don't know how to.
This is embarrassing for the Cowboys defense. The Cowboys need to have a representative at the next Jets game to make sure that Sam Darnold doesn't expose what a fraud he is, which exposes the Cowboys for being horrible.
The Cowboys need to release a statement and go, God, guys, why did you release the audio of him saying he's seeing ghosts, which now makes our guys look like the frauds that they are? White guys, sorry, you're frauds. We got this. We won't let anybody else call you out as frauds. We know you're frauds. But we're pissed about this because now you're getting called out for being the frauds you were.
Right.
Or you're seeing, I'm seeing grass against the Cowboys on this open land to just throw it.
Yeah.
Hey, KT, this is in the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. Have y'all not heard what Favre said?
Well, that's a very interesting observation. Here is what Brett Favre said on SiriusXM.
That's a term that Mike Holmgren would say to me quite often. My first 1, 2, 3 years with the Packers. It's not a new term. Quite frankly, I'm not surprised. A young player, quarterback especially, will have a tendency to see ghost. You know, he's going to see more ghost. And, you know, over time, the thought is that you see less and less and you become very familiar with your offense. And I think that's something that's often overlooked. I mean, this is a new offense to him.
If you take that out of context, you're going, wait. Hey, Favre's talking about ghosts?
Sometimes you got to tell Bruce Willis you're seeing ghosts on bootlegs, comebacks,
poise,
screens.
Why did he name poise as a route? So basically he's saying that one of the innate skills that makes a quarterback great is also schizophrenia.
Yeah. You know, he's going to see more ghosts.
Okay.
Clairvoyance.
So the guy who's texting in, and it's a great question. Didn't the Jets kind of go against that narrative of whatever Brett Favre is saying here by freaking out?
Yeah.
I mean, Favre is saying it very, hey, everyone talks like this. The Jets are saying, nobody talks like this. So now we have a battle of organizations. The mid-90s Packers versus the current Jets. Who is being more honest? 877-881-1053.
I just saw on a headline on ESPN, Alfred Morris signing with the Cardinals.
Huge.
So that's pretty awesome.
It's great for him.
Also wanted to play this audio from Greg Olsen the other day. Greg Olsen was on the broadcast on Fox of the Cardinals and Giants game. And he pops on the pregame show. It's a very delicate situation that they let him do this, but I think it's cool that he's allowed to do it. So during his bye week, he goes and does a game, and he's going to be a broadcaster one day. So just get some reps. It's a pretty cool way to spend your bye week. I think it's great. All right?
I think they should play that Miami rap.
Well, he goes on, and I just want you to imagine, let's say Witten was doing this on Fox. This is why I want to go back to 2016, and let's say Witten was doing that during the bye week. And Witten goes on the pregame show, and they say, Dak or Romo, because Greg Olsen is asked, what do you do here with Kyle Allen in there? Do you put Cam Newton in the game, and how does Greg Olsen handle this?
Wow. You guys are really putting me on the spot here before my big call in this game. You're making me nervous. But, you know, listen, here's the reality. We all know the elephant in the room, and that's the dynamic with Cam coming back off, you know, off being injured for the last few weeks. Kyle, obviously, is 4-0, has kind of rallied us to this point going into the bye. The reality is everyone in our organization, myself included, I'd be at the top of the list, understand what Cam has meant and still continues to mean to this organization, to this team. He's elevated a lot of guys' careers, including my own. And then at the same time, we have a young quarterback who's just done an unbelievable job stepping in a difficult situation, limited experience, and has won 4 in a row. So we take it as a good situation. Until Cam is back on his feet, running around in the Cam that we're used to, we're going to keep rolling with Kyle. But I know once Cam is back and he has his legs under him, you know, he's still that MVP caliber guy that we've seen over the years. And it's just a matter of getting healthy. And when he's back, we have a hard decision to make. But until then, we're going to keep rolling with what's working and just wish Cam a speedy recovery. We want to get him back as soon as we can.
That's an incredible answer.
Yeah. Great job.
What a badass. Now, I know they told him in advance they were going to ask him that, but I wonder if he didn't say, hey, guys, I want to address this. Like, because they don't, they don't just, I really would be, was that on the set or was that in the booth?
He was in the booth, and this was during the pregame show.
Yeah.
But he was in the booth because he was not allowed to go down on the field and talk to players.
Right.
Okay. I can tell you I got a little bit of insight into this world when, and Godskin, you have a ton of insight into it actually being on broadcast. But I, in terms of how professional athletes are viewed in this regard, when Romo went through what he went through and when Witten went through what he went through, and I know that Romo told Witten, listen, the number one thing they're going to be worried about is that you won't be critical of your colleagues. Mm-hmm. You won't be critical of guys that are in the league. And so that's a huge test for him, and he passed it. He was willing to be honest and forthright. And I know that those guys who hire those former athletes, that's their biggest fear, that they're going to just get in and be scared to say anything.
I bet he was. I bet he asked to be asked that question. That would be my guess.
Well, it's a good play for him. So here's what's happening right now. It's not final yet, so the XFL is going to be starting up in February. They're going to have 10 games, and they're all on big networks. Fox, ABC, FS1, all on big networks, okay? And it was previously reported that the lead XFL broadcast team would be Kurt Menefee and Joel Klatt, who's the number one college guy for Fox.
I saw that, yeah.
But I don't know if that's final or not. For its number two team, the New York Post is reporting they want an up-and-coming play-by-play guy because they need depth at play-by-play.
Okay.
So Ted Emmerich.
There you go.
And then, or Jared Sandler,
both
by the
of
way.
Them.
Or, and they also want to get a player in the league now.
Greg Olsen.
Who they could groom. But Greg Olsen, to me, what I would do if I was ESPN and need to fix Monday Night Football, I'd find a good play-by-play guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sounds easy, right? And then.
Throw a rock.
Greg Olsen. Okay, and then I would get someone on defense. I would have a three-man booth. But Greg Olsen can handle the light stuff. He can be a funny guy. So I would have him in offense. I would get a defensive player and who's not Boog, you know,
mm-hmm.
and someone better. And I would just try to make that work. I think that's what I'd like for him to do because he's going to be good enough immediately to be a number two team broadcast team
what
guy.
What about Boog?
Boog doesn't need to have this job.
Hey!
He's not good.
How many guys can rock that Boogmobile?
Well, it's gone.
I know, but what I'm saying is very few could have handled it the way he did. Doesn't that count for something?
Nope. Doesn't count for a damn thing.
I don't see Romo in a Romo-mobile, Ben.
Oh, shots fired at me.
Yeah, dude.
And those are around the NFL. Obviously, we didn't mention the trades. Mohamed Sanu yesterday, and then Manny Sanders goes to the 49ers.
That's big for them. It would be pretty funny if Romo was in a golf cart on the sideline. down him.
He gets
chipping.
Bored. Yeah, he's just chipping and putting. He's bored.
All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show. It's 105.3 The Fan. A lot of feedback over here on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053.
Let's break down with America what Get Freaky With It means.
People want to find out about the runaway emu. We'll be back with that a little bit later. But coming up next in studio, we believe we will have the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, right here on The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.